Covering the crew all season long on WTMJ, it's Brewers Extra Innings. Now live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios in downtown Milwaukee at The Avenue, here is your host, Dominic Cotroneo.
Just sort of another dud. Brewers 6-3 final, a loss to the St. Louis Cardinals tonight in the opener of a three-game set at Busch Stadium. At least Jackson Chourio's back. At least Andrew Vaughn is back. Christian Yelich is hitting on the field. And all week long, we were joking when the return was imminent with Jerry Augustine. I'm Dom Cotroneo. I was saying, well, Chourio's not going to hit 4-for-4 and he'd be the only guy that carries this offense. Oh, you're going to need help from him. Well, gosh darn it, Augie. He came out and went 4-for-4 today. And Bryce Rain also had a couple of hits too. And, well, they carried the offense today.
Yeah, it was impressive how Chourio comes in, gets a breaking ball early in the game, hits a double to the left center, and then he gets patient with the ball, hits that ball up and away from him, everything's away from him, lets his stays back and goes with it. Just, you know, you take a guy who hasn't had any at-bats, comes up and swings the bat as patient as he is, drew a walk, as patient as he was tonight. It's so nice to see. You know, you look at what the hitters 2-4 did. They were 8-for-14 with 2 runs and 2 RBIs. You know, you look at that part of the lineup, and you know what? I think Pat Murphy is going to sit back and say, you know what? Today wasn't a good game. We lost. But, you know, he's going to be smiling because he looks at what the capability, what this lineup can be down the road.
When I look at Chourio and what I'm most excited about for him this season, the thing that, you know, every year you're supposed to see a little bit more improvement, a tool being refined or something that identifies that season's theme or sort of the motif that makes the player better, right? In 2024, it was just more about, hey, learn about what it takes to be in the big leagues. Oh, by the way, he still turned in a 2020 season. Then last season, it was, okay, how can you tap into more power? Now, the injury certainly derailed that. He could have had a 30-homer season last year, but injuries, missing a whole month due to hamstring, has to do that. Now, I feel like this season, Augie, the thing that we're going to be excited to watch for Jackson Chourio is the walk and is the patience and how sticky really is his spring training when he was really making an effort to take more pitches. And Pat Murphy even alluded to it at one point in spring training, saying he wants to be great and he knows that's what's going to make him great, being more patient at the plate, because 4-for-4 is great. And I'm never going to complain about 4-for-4 with a pair of doubles. But Chourio showing a walk and Chourio showing play discipline. Yes, he maybe swung at one pitch out of the zone. So be it. Everyone swings the pitches out of the zone. But to see him reach another level, one game overreaction is I'm seeing plate discipline from Jackson Chourio that, remember that we said it here first on May the 4th that in July or August when he's, you know, got a walk rate that's a career high, we told you first.
Yeah, I agree with you. The patience aspect. Yeah, he did. There's one pitch that he went after a pretty good breaking ball on the outside part of the plate. But, you know, the plate discipline, and, you know, he's a young man that wants to be great. There's no doubt he just doesn't want to be average. He wants to be great. And the parts that he needs to do well is to be able to lay off some of those breaking pitches away. Yeah, he's going to go through that. Every hitter does. You go through a time when you're just not seeing the ball white. You're a little bit too anxious. That's going to happen. But I think what's as impressive about Chourio as anything is he went to spring training with the idea that he's going to be patient at the plate. He succeeded with that. He worked at it. He went through his time in the minors. What does he do? He's patient at the plate. And I think, Dom, that's what you were saying. We're going to be back. We're going to be talking, not this week, but we're going to be talking in August. We're going to be looking, saying what he has done, the way he has improved, and it's all because he's been patient at the plate.
Well, the Brewers, you know, Terang and Chourio go a combined 7-for-9. Everybody else goes a combined 4-for-28, which just ain't going to cut it in any game, let alone against the Cardinals. This offense is stuck in this weird neutral pattern right now. They went 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position. They're hitting under 200 over their last 5 games now with runners in scoring position. That is even with, you know, 3 wins in that span too. So there's a disconnect of getting the big hit because, you know, you leave 12 runners on base. You only strike out 7 times. Like, just the big hit is the thing that's missing right now. And it's such an easy thing to complain about when it's such a hard thing to execute. What it felt like the Brewers were invincible in doing, you know, exactly what the situation called for a season ago. They have not been the same team right now with runners in scoring position. What do you see?
Yeah, you know, early in the season, they looked like they were really putting the ball in play. You get guys out there scoring. They led the league with, and maybe they still do, a two-out run scored and putting the ball in play. What did they do so well? They put the ball in play. They manufacture runs. And, you know, today's kind of a, like a culmination of what you were talking about, Dom. 2 for 12 with runners in scoring position. But not, you look at that, but they also left 12 guys on base. So they had the opportunities. They haven't been able to get that big two-out hit or the big hit when they need it, or to get something going in the inning when they can score multi-runs, which they have done so well this year. It's just, they are. They're in a little bit of a funk right now, just trying to figure it out. But I think when you look at this team getting more to the situation where they're getting healthy, getting guys in the position that they want, getting the players in the game in the batting order that how Murph wants to have it, I think this is going to turn itself around. But I think you're right. I think today was kind of a culmination when you look. They're not hitting well. They're, like you said, the last week, hitting under 200 runners in scoring position. Today, 2 for 12, and the 12 runners left on base. Kind of that culmination. It's a good time for this ball club to turn it around.
Well, I mean, I go back the last 18 games now for the Brewers. They only have 5 homers. And we know this team isn't necessarily built on power. It doesn't mean you don't want it. And it doesn't mean, you know, hey, Jake Bowers doesn't have a homer in those 18 games. Gary Sanchez doesn't have a homer in those 18 games. Garrett Mitchell hasn't had a homer in a month. Bryce Durang hit his second homer of this stretch. I mean, the fact that Sal Frelick's got 3 homers this season, Williams got 3 as well. There are still other guys on this team that are looked to for power that have not delivered the power to this point. Maybe the reinforcements arriving can help that, but there is certainly something to be desired in the slug department. And it's, in my opinion, and we're going to talk about the left side of the infield toward later on in the show, but in my opinion, the personnel they have right now, Augie, there are guys in this team that can hit the ball over the fence that, whether it be lineup construction, whether it be the way they're pitched, or just being in a slump all at the same time, they haven't been hitting the ball over the fence.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's guys in this sort of definitely can hit the ball at a ballpark, and I think we'll see that as the season goes on, they're going to hit some home runs. But, you know, one that's been really impressive, Dom, is Bryce Durang, the way we hit that home run tonight. The way he's gone and the way he changes his approach each and every year, he takes that ball, and he looks like if you make that pitch away, he just goes with it. That pitch that he is so good at going the opposite way like he did today for a base hit. Next guy came up, got hit that home run. I think his patience at the plate, letting the ball travel, really lets him put some good swings on it. And I'll tell you what, he hit that ball. That was not a bad pitch, a ball down, a curveball down the zone. Boy, he hit that ball a long way. So we do, like you said, we do have guys that can hit the ball in the ballpark. But like you say, it's getting that pitch, getting in that groove where you're patient at the plate, looking at situation, looking for a pitch and getting it and taking advantage of it. I think those things are all going to come to fruition when we get healthy and as the season goes along. Right now it's not going well for them, but I think it's something that's going to, as they get along, it's going to be much better.
We'll take a quick call before we go to break. Sparky in Madison. Sparky, you're live here on Brewers Extra Innings.
Okay, fellas. Hey, thanks for taking my phone call here. You know, the situation at third base and shortstop from the start of the season till now has been extremely bleak. They're getting absolutely no run production from anybody that's out there, and I have no idea what can be done. I don't think there's anybody at the AAA level that's ready to come up. And I would have to think that for Matt Arnold and his people, that has to be a concern because you're, what, 33 games into the season? And if you're going to contend for a title or a wild card spot, you definitely have to get some production from those folks. So what are the solutions? I'm going to ask you guys that question.
Yeah, it's a good question, Sparky. It's actually a segment that we're going to have a little bit later on in the show. I do think Jet Williams is closer than you think to coming to the big leagues, and I've got some data to explain why I think so. And again, I don't want to spoil the segment that we have planned here a little bit later on, but yes, it needs to be addressed. I agree entirely. The Brewers certainly have more personnel than you think down there in AAA that can help this team out. Before we get to break, a couple more texts that I've rolled in here as well. 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Doug, Brewers started way too late tonight. Nice to have Churio back, but there are still holes in the lineup. Got to start winning division games. This one from the 414, Brian from Tosa, 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position, just not going to get it done. Short outing by Chad Patrick did not help. An ugly start to the series with the Cardinals. So let's talk about Chad Patrick coming up next, and then we'll get to the left side of the infield as well. Brewers fall today 6-3 to the Cardinals. You're on your home of the Brewers, 620 WTMJ. Good news, Jackson Churio can fall out of bed and still hit. Bad news, everything else. Brewers fall 6-3 to the Cardinals in the opener. I'm Dom Catronio with Jerry Augustine. Thanks for joining us. Chad Patrick today, Augie, 3 1/3, 7 hits, 4 runs that were all earned, 3 more walks today after having 5 in his last start against the Diamondbacks, and 4 strikeouts. The first thing that jumps out to me is falling behind in counts led to, you know, pretty much all of the runs that scored against him today. In the first inning, he fell behind on both Herrera and Walker. They managed singles. No runs scored in that frame. In the second, fell behind 3-1 on Mason Wynn. Leadoff walk. Those always result in runs. And then an RBI single by J.J. Weatherholt, but that came on a 0-1 pitch. Then the double that didn't hurt him was on a 1-0 pitch. Then when the wheels really came off in the fourth inning, it was a leadoff double. He fell behind 3-1 on Pedro Pajes before ultimately walking him. And then the weird intentional walk to Weatherholt there to set up Herrera, who got into a 2-0 count, and the rest is history, a 3-run double to left center field. So the point I'm making here is Chad Patrick only threw 4 slurves in today's game, 4 non-fastballs. And I think the Cardinals were ready for it. And I think the Cardinals understood, make him beat you with his fourth best pitch because you've seen the fastballs enough. And I really start to wonder how much longer Chad Patrick is going to be a starter for the Brewers.
Well, the first thing, when you look at Chad Patrick, his success comes in strike one. I think when you look at where he, when you've seen games where, he threw a good ball game, he kept the team in the game, did what he had to do, it's always strike one. He throws it, he gets ahead of hitters, and that's the main thing. You look at the second thing. You look at 3 walks tonight, all 3 walks scored. But I think a little bit of problem that he's had, his cutter has usually been a pretty good pitch for him. When he seems to be able to locate that pitch real well, I know we're talking about the slurve and he's working with it and trying to use it, utilize it to change speeds. But when he can get the cutter where he wants to, he a lot of times can get through things. He can throw a ball on the inside part of play, jam guys, just to get that little extra movement that he can on a pitch is really important to him. And I don't think he had that tonight at all. I don't think he was able to locate it. And I think the double that Church hit was, I think it was a high slider, a high cutter, it looked like. It might have been a fastball that he got around on and was able to hit it. You look at what Herrera hit. Herrera got in a count where, what did he get? He got a sinker that was up in the zone, and he was able to put a good swing on it. So I think when you're talking about Chad Patrick, he has to pitch ahead. Some guys in baseball, that's just the way they have to be. Not everybody is a power guy where he can just lay back and throw the fastball and get by guys. A lot of guys have to have a set of pitches that he can use when he needs to get them that he has to have to be successful. And I think that's the problem with Chad Patrick right now. I don't think there's anything wrong with his sequences, the pitches that he's trying to throw, but it looks like now he's just struggling to get comfort with his secondary pitches, and I think that's played a big difference in his style.
There's nothing to get the batter off of the 88 to 94 range, right? The batter is always fishing in that pond of upper 80s, low 90s. There's nothing that can get them off balance. There's nothing that they have to respect. We know the cutter's an elite pitch, but at the same time, it's not a secret anymore. And tape is available on everybody. And I sit here and I openly wonder, he's continually not being given a chance a third time through an order. He's not even getting a chance, and I disagreed with this call from Pat Murphy. I'm sure he had his reasonings, to intentionally walk a rookie for a third time through in the order to face one of the hottest hitters on the Cardinals in Ivan Herrera, and he fell behind 2-0 on him in the third at bat against him. I just thought he was really put in a poor position there. But again, that's part of his own doing, allowing 2 runners to reach earlier in that frame. The point I'm trying to make here is what we saw in the postseason, the fastball ticking up a little bit more, having a little bit different movement on that pitch and having him kind of have more urgency to say, hey, man, go let it eat for an inning. Go let it eat for two innings. That's all we need you to do today. We saw a Hall of Fame closer get by with a one pitch, a cutter. I'm not saying his cutter is Mariano's, but it can work in the relief role, and I wonder if the Brewers are seriously considering it.
Well, it's interesting because how is he throwing the cutter? You know, is he going through a stage right now? You know, certain pitches, Dom, when they're your bread and butter pitch, sometimes you get in that little habit of getting under the ball, staying behind the ball rather than getting on top of the ball and throwing that cutter where you have a little cut that goes down and has a good late breakdown. And that's where I think Chad Patrick's success is. I think he's gotten a little bit where it's gotten a little bit flatter at times, and he hasn't been able to control it as much. That's why he's trying to go to where you see him trying to work with his serve, because a serve, you can change speeds. We're seeing a lot of great pitchers, Harrison, all these guys using that slurve to effective because they can change speeds, make it go from top to bottom or go side to side and make it very effective. And I think that's what Chad Patrick is doing. But his bread and butter is that cutter. And you can make that tilt on that cutter different depending on where you throw it. I just think he's getting behind it at times. It's getting flatter. He's not being able to locate it the way he wants. And that's really caused him a lot of problems.
When I look at what the Brewers need out of Chad Patrick, and it needs to be that third time through, it needs to be that trust, and I just don't think they've got it from him so far. And, you know, this is something he told us in spring training that's just always has stuck with me a little bit, that I just don't know if starting is in the cards for him, given he sees, this is quoted to the media on camera, I'm expected to go five innings. That's my job. Not, I want to take the ball and finish the game. I don't want to, you know, I want to strike out everybody. No, I'm expected to go five innings. That's where I go, hey, maybe the best position for you actually is just go to the bullpen, let it eat, see how many guys you can get out, and we'll tell you when it's time to sit down. And maybe that could be a position for success for him because Logan Henderson and Shane Drouin are in the wings that are ready to be given a deserving chance to face lineups multiple times through, and I think they both deserve a shot in the starting rotation.
Yeah, the one thing, Tom, I think anytime you're a starting pitcher, I don't ever think that a starting pitcher should ever put a limit on how long he goes in the game. I think you go with the intent that sometimes you're just going to have a magical game and you go to seven or eight or even a completed game, which doesn't happen too much in baseball today. But I think by limiting yourself, saying you have to go a certain amount, you set that limit. Well, that sets a limit on what your sequences are going to be, or how you're going to pitch guys. And I think you hit it right. The success of a pitcher is not going five innings. The success in a pitcher is getting into that third time through the lineup and having some success. You're going to help your team go deeper in the ball game. You're going to keep yourself in the ball game longer. And I think that's what a starting pitcher has to have now. If he was told that he only has to go five innings, maybe that's what he was saying at the time. But I think Chad Patrick needs to know that, you know what, there's times when I got to go six, and there may be even more than that. It's getting through that third time in the lineup and being effective then that makes a good starting pitcher in the major leagues. And I think that's what every starting pitcher should have a challenge to do.
I think the Brewers are in a position that they can certainly handle giving some audition time in the rotation, given Woodruff's on the IL. Priester does not have a timetable right now. He's got a shoulder issue. He was pulled off of his rehab assignment. You've still got guys that are on their way. Like Robert Gasser even deserves a chance at some point this year, too. He'll pitch in the big leagues. Coleman Crowe deserves another chance in the big leagues. The depth is certainly going to be showcased. All right, let's talk about the left side of the infield, because that's what I think everybody wants to talk about here tonight. Brewers fall today 6-3. What do the Brewers do? What can they actually choose to do with what's going on between short and third base? Back after this on 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. Do a little cider, who's hot, who's not, brought to you by our friends at Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. With Wisconsin's weather all over the map, now's the time to get ahead of the heat with Cider Heating, Plumbing, and Electrical. You can save $50 on maintenance plans through May 15th. Or get $25 off AC tune-ups all month long. Don't wait. Schedule your appointment today at Cider, SEIDER.com. With Jerry Augustine, I'm Dom Catronio. The cold side of things is the Brewers not named Churio and Terang, like we said earlier in the program. Everybody not named Churio and Turang went a combined 4 for 28 today, including David Hamilton and Luis Renjifo, a combined 1 for 8. Renjifo, an RBI single earlier in this game, but they also struck out 3 times. You know, I sit here and I look back at last season, and we're kind of in the same situation in a way, Augie, talking about the platoon at third base between Vinny Capra and Oliver Dunn. I mean, those are blast from the past names right now, and Joey was still playing shortstop. But now, for the first time, the Brewers have really taken Joey off the everyday role at short, but it hasn't been in favor for more offense. So for the big league club as it stands, where do you see as their best positioned lineup to, even if it's against a right-handed pitcher, do you want Joey and Renjifo in the lineup? Do you want Hamilton in there more often? How do you see the split shaking out right now?
Well, I think you're going to, you know, Murphy's going to go with who he feels best is going to, what the matchups are. And, you know, you got Renjifo, he's a switch hitter. He plays really good third base. He's a good defensive guy. He's that switch hitter, can give you, hopefully give you some offense. It's just that he's had some struggles. And I think the biggest thing out of, when you look at the shortstop and the third base, you look at production. Not only do you have to be solid on the defensive side, Dom, but you got to get some production at one or the other. If you get great production on a third base or shortstop, you can, you know, you can balance things off, and you can take that step back and allow somebody to develop, or let guy like a Hamilton to go out and do what he does, playing great shortstop, puts the ball in play, he can bunt, he can run the bases. His speed is a real attribute to this ball club. But I think when you look at this ball club overall, I think you're going to look at situations. I think Murphy's going to go with matchups, what he feels best at that lineup for right now, until they decide to make some move, whether it be via trade or bring somebody up or do whatever they're going to do. I think they're just going to do matchup as much as they can.
When I think the Brewers understand they don't want to rush Cooper Pratt, and they said so in the introductory press conference, we want him to develop at his own pace. He's still just turning 22 years old. He's still got time. Not everybody can be freaks like Jackson Churio, be their third year on the show at 22 years old. But I just keep coming back to Jet Williams. And I think at this point last year, the leash was much shorter between Capra and Dunn at third base. And they called up Caleb Durbin. And Durbin, you know, it took him a month to get going in the big leagues. And then when he got going, boy, did he get going. I think Jet Williams deserves a chance. I really do think so. I mean, you look at his last 2 weeks or so, he's got multiple hits, and now 5 of his last, 11 games. He's got 2 homers in his last 11 games. His batting average continues to climb. When it was freezing cold in AAA on his way up, I'm just pulling up the date range right now, just going back for the last, let's call it 10 days, going back to April 24th. Jet Williams is one of the leaders on the Nashville Sounds, him and Luis Lara. Jet Williams is 13 for his last 37, a .351 average, a .983 OPS. He has got 3 walks, 6 strikeouts, 3 stolen bases. What I love about Jet Williams is he can play both of them. He can play third. He can play short. He's been getting plenty of work there at third base. He can play short if you need it, depending on the matchup, where it doesn't really impact the day-to-day switcheroo. Because by this time last year, Caleb Durbin was up. I don't know what we're waiting for in calling up Jet Williams.
Well, he's an interesting individual that, you know, when they traded for him and got him for Freddie Peralta, he was kind of interesting, would say, what were they going to do if there's one guy in that trade that they thought might pause a little bit? It might be Jet Williams, and seeing what he can do, let him go to AAA, let him mature a little bit, see what he can do. And I thought you brought some good points there. He's starting to swing the bat. He's starting to get the understanding. And you look at him, and, you know, he's maybe a little bit like Caleb Durbin, only they say he hits with a little bit more power. He can run real well. He's got a good glove, like you just said. He can play short or third. It makes it interesting, as, you know, you've got to give guys opportunities. And I think the one thing, that blessing that the Brewers have, is having Rick Sweet in AAA, because he just has that knack of understanding. I know I talked to him a lot in fantasy camp, and we talked about bringing guys up and when do you bring them. And he said, there's a real fine line when you see these guys. And you don't, it's not always when they're doing well. It's how their temperament is, how they're swinging the bat. Do they feel like they're having good at-bats? Are they patient at the plate? Are they being too quick in the field? Are they have good footwork and making good throws? So I think a lot has to do with are they prepared? I think having a guy like Rick Sweet would say, would back him and say, hey, you know what, this kid's ready. I think if he's, they say he's ready, I think the Brewers may give him a shot.
I think the Brewers are sort of at this inflection point in the season, similar to where last year. I'm not saying this is, oh my gosh, this is the time to do it. Go. You got to get it done. Like I'm not trying to say a team that's two games over 500 that's just now started to get its lineup to look like it's supposed to look like, and still without Christian Yelich, mind you, that it could be a little bit better given what we're looking for out of the left side of the defense. That's all. And I think that, you know, Renjifo being a switch hitter, and he has swung the bat better as of late, I think for Hamilton to only have two extra base hits, for Joey to still not have an extra base hit, I wonder at what point do the scales tip? Because I like all those guys as guys. I think they're great, you know, guys to talk to, and they're going through it. They understand. They hear the noise. But at the same time, sometimes it's a performance-based business, man, and the performance hasn't lined up with what the Brewers are hoping for right now.
Yeah, and I tell you, when you talk about the minors, everybody talks about Cooper Pratt and how close is he. And, you know, he's just, like they said, they're going to allow him to play and allow him to learn, allow him to make the mistakes and allow him to get through those things. And when they feel that he's ready, he's going to be ready. I know, and again, talking with Rick Sweet, he said, this is a no-doubter. He's that good. He's really a good kid. He's got a lot of temperament to play in the big leagues. When you look at his physical abilities, he's got all the abilities to be a big leaguer. Now we got to take that mental part of it, add that into the physical part of it, and then he'll be ready to come up. It's going to be interesting. I think we're going to see him sooner than we think, too. But I'll tell you, Jet Williams is one guy that if he's swinging the bat, they got him for a reason. They put him down in AAA for a reason, to play multi-positions and see how he does in swinging the bat. He brings a lot. He can swing the bat. He can run real well. He can bring a little part to the offense that we may need here to continue on with their team speed. So it's going to get interesting, especially when you see the left side of the infield playing like they are right now. I think the Brewers might get a little impatient, and I think what they'll have to do is they'll have to make a change to see if something good can happen.
And for the folks, you know, who were slamming on the table asking for Eugenio Suarez at during the offseason to try to get him acquired to join the Brewers. Well, first of all, he's on the injured list right now. And since he got traded from the Diamondbacks to the Mariners and then acquired by the Reds this past offseason, he's only hitting in total 202. He's hit 16 homers, sure, but he's got a 677 OPS with 16 homers, 109 strikeouts in that time. That's roughly a 35% strikeout rate for him. That's not exactly what the Brewers are looking for right now either. But there's not as much out there on the market right now. And I tell you what, to just go show you how hard this game is and how fleeting it can be, know who's the worst ranked shortstop by WAR right now, Anki? Just take a wild guess who you think is the bottom in baseball among all shortstops in the game in wins above replacement right now.
I would not even have any idea, Dom. You're just the analytical guy. I would not have any idea.
It's old friend Willy Adames right now. He's worth half a win worse than
amazing.
I mean, the Giants.
Yeah.
I know, right? I mean, the Giants aren't off to a great start, but it's just a reminder. Brewers fans know what Willie's capable of. He can go through cold streaks, but he's not the worst shortstop in baseball. Everybody knows that. Just a reminder that it's May 4th. There's still so much time to figure this out. And stats look funny right now because then they get normalized after you get 500 plate appearances.
Yeah, and it's all about making those adjustments. You know, even the guys we have now, you know, you're seeing the guys that are out there playing. They're trying to do the best they can. I really like some of the times when they go in the game, they put the ball in play and they play good, solid defense, and they're hustling on the field. That's what you want to have out of them. And, you know, like Willy Adames, he's the kind of guy that every year, sometimes at some time of year, goes through that struggle. But when the end of the year is over, you look at him and say, boy, he bounced back and does well. It's being able to make those adjustments. But the question is, can the players that the Brewers have in those positions now make those adjustments and help this ball club?
The Brewers trying to get back on track tomorrow and avoiding rain drops while they do so. And Augie, you'll be talking about it with Bob Brainerd tomorrow, not with me. So hopefully you guys can pair up and get a victory, all right?
Yeah, we always call it the Triple B. We call it Baseball, Brewers, and Bobby Brainerd. You know, I don't know if it gets any better than that, but that's our Tuesday call. So hopefully the Brewers can bounce back. We get a nice day of weather. We can get the game in, and the Brewers can win a game inside the division.
Well, Mike Vassallo, Brewers PR man, calls us the Dom and Jerry show, you know, a la the cartoon, Tom and Jerry. So there's always a title for something.
That's good. It's always fun. I tell you, little names we have that just to do the games, it's always fun. But I've known Bobby Brainerd forever. We did Tim Morello games for long. And now we go from Dom and Jerry to Bobby and Jerry, whatever we want to do. It's always fun to be with you guys.
All right. Appreciate it as always, Aki. Take care.
All right. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Back with more after this. Take a quick lap down the box score, a little beyond the box score here in a moment on your home of the Brewers 620 WTMJ. Welcome back. I'm Dom Catronio. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, and a couple of highlights a little bit later on. Do a little buy or sell. It's brought to you by Tony Wendorf and Associates. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, trust Tony Wendorf and Associates, one of the top real estate teams in Wisconsin, empowered by Keller Williams. They bring faith, family, and a red carpet experience to every home deal. Step up to the plate with a winning team behind you, wendorfteam.kw.com. You know, when I look down this box score here, one of the things I'm buying, I'm still buying all the stock in Shane Drouin right now. In inning and a third, he was shortened up today, and I wonder if that has something to do with the uncertainty about Miz on Wednesday. It sounds like Miz is going to start, but they're keeping that close to the vest. Drouin, inning and a third, one hit, one run. It was scored after he had exited the game, one walk, one strikeout. You know, I would like to see him find a role for him that, you know, is he going to be just multi-inning guy or is he going to be individual left-on-left matchup, left-on-left windows? I think I'd rather see him be a starter, but I understand what the Brewers are dealing with right now. The other guy, how about D.L. Hall today? I mean, D.L. Hall has had such a weird start to his season because when he's on, he looks really, really on. He's got a 1.69 ERA in 14 games, 16 innings, just 3 earned runs allowed, 1 homer. Problem is 11 walks in those 16 innings, but 19 strikeouts, and he's become a junk baller. He's become a crafty lefty, if you will. I was joking about it with him earlier in the clubhouse this week of like, hey, what if I told you back in, you know, 2022 DL Hall before he came to the Brewers organization, like, hey, you're not going to be throwing 98 anymore, first of all, and you're going to be sinking and cutting and throwing changeups. He's like, yeah, I would have thought you were crazy and cut his hair and all that fun stuff, but I give kudos to DL because he also said something very interesting in that saying, look, he's grown up a little bit in baseball. He's understood what his role needs to be, what he needs to do to get his body ready. The walks will come down. I'm sure they will. But I've seen players, you know, lose their careers because their ego got in the way of saying, oh, I can throw hard again. I can throw hard again. Let me get it back up to 97, 98. And we've seen some 96s out of nowhere right now from DL Hall, but he's not necessarily banking on it and needing it to be successful right now. And kudos to him to adapting and learning and going with the punches to get him back on track. I'm certainly buying all the stock from those two lefties in the Brewers bullpen right now. On the sell side of things, man, I even tweeted it. I said I kind of liked Garrett Mitchell at the top of the lineup card, and it's a very small sample size right now. There's no sense to overreacting. He goes 0 for 5 today with a strikeout. When he's batting first in the order, he is now 5 for 26 with 4 walks and 8 strikeouts. When he's lower in the order, let's say 5th in the order, he's hitting .281 with an .892 OPS. Now, I wonder with the Brewers back at full strength, if that's the spot he could ultimately go to eventually. Now, maybe even in the meantime, right? They're facing another righty tomorrow. I believe it is supposed to be Michael McGreevy. Or no, Andre Pallante is scheduled to go tomorrow. But the point being, let's say you lead off with Terang, or let's say you lead off with Churio, then you alternate to the other one, right? So let's go Churio 1, Terang 2, let's go Contreras 3, Bowers 4, then you got the back-to-back lefty issue if you want to put Mitchell 5, or you put Vaughn 5, Mitchell 6. These are things I think about, and I wonder, maybe Garrett isn't meant for the top half of the lineup card. Maybe he is supposed to be a spark plug a little bit lower in the order. And when Yelly comes back, I think that's an easier thing to talk about as well, because Yelly's not a guy that's going to be platooned like Garrett has been so far this season. Just something to monitor, food for thought of what I'm seeing right now with lineup construction. The Brewers are still perfect, by the way. 34 for 34, 100% different lineups for every single game. And it will be virtually different every time Jackson Churio is in a lineup for the time being. Let's get to a couple of highlights. It's coming up next. Brewers fall today 6-3, but there were some bright spots. Back after this on 620 WTMJ. Brewers fall today 6-3, but the return of Jackson Churio and Andrew Vaughn is certainly a highlight in itself, and well, one of them certainly had an impact on this game. Let's get you caught up to speed with a few highlight clips from this loss.
Ready for this?
Out of here!
This?
Brought it back! Ho, ho, ho!
And this?
It is gone!
Time for tonight's highlights.
As we mentioned, Jackson Churio back off the injured list after dealing with a minor fracture in his hand. He wasted no time getting back in the box
pitch. Jackson launches one left center field. This one's back there, and it is going to be off the very top of the wall. Churio jogging into second. Ho-hum, a double in his first at bat in 2026. He just makes it look easy at times.
Well, he will be doing that again a little bit later on in the game. Brewers would fail to score in that first inning. It did not go well in the beginning of this game for Chad Patrick. Exiting the game down 4-0 after a bases-clearing three-run double by Ivan Herrera earlier in the game, an RBI single from J.J. Weatherholt. But then D.L. Hall came in and doused the flames in the bottom of the fourth. The Brewers did get a response in the top of the sixth, all started with a leadoff walk. A single put runners on the corners from Sal Frelick. A pitching change, and Luis Renjifo was
3-1
the batter.
3-1 ground ball left side. That's going to get into left field for a base hit. Bowers trots home. Stopping at second is Frelick. It is an RBI single for Luis Renjifo, and the Brewers on the board. It is 4-1 St. Louis.
So first and second, one out. The Brewers would fail to add on from there. Hamilton struck out, and Mitchell flied out. And in the bottom of the sixth inning, Shane Drouin came in and was very efficient coming out of the pen.
0-2 pitch. Curveball, call third strike. A beautiful curveball snapped off by Shane Drouin. And he strikes out Herrera and works a 1-2-3, bottom of the sixth. Man, is this southpaw been impressive out of the Brewers' pen so far this year.
He's going to be an important piece for the Brewers moving forward. But two insurance runs would be planted in the seventh off the combo of Drouin and Grant Anderson, making it a 6-1 ball game in favor of the Cardinals. But Jackson Churio wasn't done and wasn't going to go quietly into the
first
ninth.
Pitch, and Churio gets into one. Right center field. Scott's going back at the track. That one bangs off the wall. Jackson turns first on his way to second. He's in there with his second double of the night. 4-for-4. He's been on base 5 times. Jackson Churio has made the baseball look really slow tonight at the plate.
Only the second time in his career he's reached base 5 times in a game. First time doing so perfectly, not being retired. And one more highlight. How about Bryce? He's showing
one
a little
one
more
to
pop.
Terang. He is a fly ball to center. This is hit well. Scott's back at the track, at the wall. It is gone. Bryce Terang goes deep to center. His 5th home run of the season. It is a 2-run shot. And the Brewers make this interesting in the ninth. It's 6-3 St. Louis.
The interest would end there, as that would be the final score. Brewers falling by a 6-3 final. Brewers in this one, they had plenty of opportunities. They went a combined 2-for-12 with runners in scoring position. Cardinals, 6 runs, 11 hits, no errors. They left 9, but they went 4-for-10 with runners in scoring position. Brewers, 3 runs, 11 hits, 1 error, and also left 12. Winner is the starter, Kyle Leahy. The loser, the starter, Chad Patrick. And a save to Riley O'Brien. Only needed 2 outs to end this game. We'll hear from the manager, Pat Murphy, coming up next on 620 WTMJ. You've heard me talk plenty. Let's hear from the manager. Brewers fall 6-3. And a quick thought I just had. Man, the second base all-star balloting, it's going to get really, really nasty and mean between Brewers fans and Cubs fans. Bryce Terang versus Nico Hoerner. I don't want to participate in it, but I hope Bryce gets it. I hope both teams have fun. Anyway,
yeah,
here's Murph.
Last year, you know, he had more at-bats in the minors, but he didn't have much success down there. But he knows the difference. You know, he knows when the lights are on. And, yeah, fabulous effort. You know, 5 great at-bats. Yeah, we just obviously didn't come up with a big hit for him. We battled. We hit some balls hard right at people. They had tremendous timely hitting. We left 12 guys on base. 12 guys on base. Yeah, that's not timely hitting, but there was a lot of good performances today. It was good to see those guys back. I mean, Vaughn had a couple ABs he'd like back, but he certainly wasn't, his timing isn't perfect, but, you know, like his last at bat, that's, you know, we could have used that and drove in a run with man on third or something, but Terang was great. There's a lot of great performances, but yeah, a lot of good things. Drone threw the ball great. DL Hall threw the ball great. And that's good to see because he hadn't been early on. And now to see him throw the ball the way he did, that's encouraging. So a lot of encouraging things, but they're playing good. They're playing with confidence. We're not quite there yet, but I believe in these guys.
What did you think of Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't throw the ball where he wanted to. He hasn't been that sharp throwing the ball where he wants to. He's a great competitor. I know he's disappointed. You can't – we choose to intentionally walk a guy to set up a double play, a potential or maybe whatever, to get the right on right where I know Herrera's a really good hitter. But I felt like, you know, we can navigate this, and then he goes 2-0 and throws the ball right down the middle. I mean, it doesn't matter if you walked him or you didn't. That's not what you're looking for. But when you're behind like that, sometimes you take that gamble. But he's got to execute that. He was behind all day. The last outing, he was doing the same thing. So he's got to improve on that. He's got a lot of grit. He's meant a lot to our deal. So I'm very confident he can get on track.
Kind of mentioned this briefly about Vaughn, but what did you think of the quality of his at bats and just what he looks like up there?
Yeah, he had a tough one. The strikeout was a backed up breaking ball where, you know, he's expecting it a little further and it didn't go there. And that sometimes that's one of the best pitches in the game when a breaking ball doesn't break. But other than that, you know, he got around some ground balls and hit a ball pretty good at the end there to right. I mean, he's not in his timing yet, but he'll get there.
Any of those at bats with runners on stand out to you? Like that could have been somebody.
Yeah, I mean, like you're talking about a team that I think somebody told me today we hit .294 with runners in scoring position. It's one of the tops in baseball. Well, it sure doesn't feel like it the last week or two, but I mean, that's going to happen. You play a team that's hot. You play a team that's really confident. You know, you got to have that breakthrough, you know, they've got a young, hungry team. Weatherholt's a fabulous rookie, but everybody else has got just enough major league time and have struggled enough in the major leagues to say enough is enough. You see that Walker kid swinging the bat. Herrera has been unbelievable. Burleson is normally tremendous. Guys like Church and Páez they're hungry young players, and that's. You know, that's what's made them so good so far.
The Cardinals have been the story of the Central to me. Not so much the Reds, not so much the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs are supposed to be a competitive playoff caliber team. No one expected the Cardinals to be north of 20 wins already at this point in the season. And they've been impressive. They can hit, man. They can really hit. I don't know if they can pitch. I think the Brewers made them look a little better than they are. But that's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. Back at it tomorrow, same time, same place, weather permitting, that is. 6:45 is the first pitch. We're on the air at 6:10 with the On Deck Show, built by Menards. Hopefully we get it in, and if not, or if we do get it in, Bob Brainerd's got you covered for post-game tomorrow. I am on the road, as you can tell if you're watching on YouTube, in Houston, Dodgers and Astros. All right, that'll do it for our program here tonight. My thanks to producer Matt Yazel. I'm Dom Catronio. Keep on swinging.